Today on Real Radio.
I don't care about doctrine. I have a cold. Heal me, and I'll follow you anywhere. Isn't that what Jesus was talking about when he was on earth? When he fed the people, what did he say to all the people? You're not following me because you think I'm the Lord. You're following me because you're hungry.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. Recently, we covered chapters 26 through 28 simply because of how they all dovetail together. Now, we're examining chapter 28 specifically today. This is where King Saul consults a medium, something that is strictly forbidden by the God of Israel. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs now continuing in his mini-series called The Spiritual Realm.
So she cries out, verse 12, when she sees him with a loud voice, and the woman spoke to Saul and saying, why have you deceived me? For you are Saul. What's happening here? The truth is coming out. Not from a witch. What is God doing? Don't make this mistake. And listen, let's just talk tonight. I'm gonna give you a chance to ask questions in a moment, but let's just dialogue. We're not gonna go on to the next chapter next week until you get your questions answered here in this area. Because I am not going to have you turn on these cult programs to find out what they say. These loony, wacko, demonic, possessed, weird people who are so nice. These people know the future, you know. Dionne Warwick knows the future. I have a hard time consulting Dionne Warwick, who can't even find the way to San Jose. Why would I talk to her when she doesn't even know the way to San Jose? She's supposed to know the future. How cool. Her whole movement went into bankruptcy. Couldn't she see it coming? And then what about that Cleo gal who was supposed to have been Jamaican? She wasn't even Jamaican. And she went bankrupt. Couldn't she see it coming? If she's accurate, how come she didn't see it coming? Oh, call me, I'll tell you about your life. She didn't even know about her own life. These things will come out in time. What's happening is here, the demonic realm is not exposing the truth. God is intervening in the situation. He's freaking out the witch. He's got a message for Saul. And he's going to do something that he doesn't normally do. And that is, he's going to allow the spirit of Samuel to speak. How do we know? Well, let's keep reading. Let the Bible speak and teach us from its own pages. Verse 13, and the king said to her, do not be afraid. What did you see? And the woman said to Saul, I saw a spirit. Technically, she used the word Elohim, not to panic. She's not saying, I saw God. She's saying, I have seen a supernatural spirit. I have seen a being from the other world ascending out of the earth. So he said to her, what is his form? And she said, an old man is coming up, and he is covered with a mantle. That was a mantle of authority, by the way. Samuel wore a mantle. He was a prophet. Right about then, Saul, being a good Jewish boy, is quite hairy, I'm sure, and the hair is standing straight up. He hears from her, the man is ascending. He's old. He has a mantle. He's a man of authority. He's Samuel. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed down. Verse 15. Now, look what your Bible says. Samuel said to Saul. It doesn't say a spirit said to Saul or the spirit said to Saul, lowercase s. It says Samuel. The Bible says Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? And Saul answered, I am deeply distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me and does not answer me anymore, neither by the prophets nor by dreams. Therefore, I have called upon you that you may reveal to me what I should do. This is so vital. And you could take this verse 15 and have a tremendous Bible study. Because if somebody who's professing and confessing to know God, if God's not speaking to them, Christian, be careful to not speak to them either. I'm not saying be mean to them and rude. If someone is consulting God and God's not saying, listen, church, if someone is consulting God and God's not telling, maybe he doesn't want to say anything. Maybe that person's not listening just right. Maybe God's teaching them patience. Maybe they've sinned and he's not speaking to them based upon Isaiah chapter 59. He's not talking. It's God's prerogative not to speak or to speak. That's his business. But when somebody says, God's not talking to me, I don't know what's going on. You know what you can say? You can say, I'll pray for you. But when they start to say, you know, I just can't get an answer from the Lord. What do you think I should do? Do you think I should take that job or not? Listen, I'm telling you right now, I will not answer you when you come and ask me like that. And I'm encouraging you as a Christian, don't answer your brother or sister. If God's not answering them, don't answer them. You're not God. I'm not God. Let them seek the Lord. Let him speak to them. He's able. The funny thing is, you say, well, Pastor, I rarely hear from God. I'm convinced God's always speaking. We're not always listening. That's the big problem. Sometimes we just need to learn how to listen. Get still. Turn off the TV and turn off the radio and, you know, put the kids to bed. Pick an hour. Set your alarm if you have to. Get up at 2 a.m. I guarantee, even if you do, I've done that before. It doesn't matter. Set your alarm at 2 a.m. Get up. The phone will ring. You know what I'm saying? Isn't that funny? Hi, we're selling the new carpet cleaner. It's a spiritual thing. But get alone with God. Talk to him. Seek him. If you're not hearing God speak, please, Christian, don't go run to some human and try to get a voice in your ear that way. That's a dangerous thing to do. If God's not talking, wait and ask him why. He does a horrible thing. No one's talking to me. So here's the deal. I'm going to use a witch who's demonically possessed to get some godly information. The ends does not justify the means. This guy's so whacked out, it's pathetic. He's a mess. He says, what should I do at the end of verse 15? Then Samuel said, why then do you ask me? Seeing the Lord has departed from you and has become your enemy. And the Lord has done for himself as he spoke by me. For the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor, David. Because you did not obey, and here's the judgment, verse 18. This is a warning to all of us. Because you did not obey the voice of the Lord, nor execute his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore, the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with you into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also deliver the army of Israel into the hands of the Philistines. And then verse 20, Saul goes in to his already too late act of submission to God. So here's what is important tonight. Understand this. Jot it down in your Bible. These are some of the questions that came to me this week as a result of last Wednesday. Can a Christian be possessed by a demonic spirit? Before I answer that question, I want to ask you this one. Are you a Christian? If you're a Christian, you cannot be possessed by a demonic spirit. Impossible. Yeah, but I heard on Channel 40. That's why I don't watch Channel 40. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, God says, through the Apostle Paul, the Lord speaks concerning you, a Christian, who has been redeemed by the Holy Spirit. He says he dwells in you. Also, 1 Corinthians, beginning at chapter 3, all the way through to chapter 6, he says, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He says, I dwell in you. In fact, there Paul writing quotes the Old Testament out of Ezekiel chapter 36 and says, I will put my spirit in you and I will live in you. And he doesn't share his glory with anybody else, says the book of Jeremiah. He says, what fellowship does light have with darkness and Jesus with Belial or Jesus with Satan? None. Yes, it's in the context of being unequally yoked, of course, but Paul goes to an interesting turn. He's talking about relationships physically, and then he goes into relationships spiritually. A Christian cannot be possessed by a demonic spirit. Why? He's already possessed by the Holy Spirit. A Christian is possessed by the Holy Spirit. The book of Ephesians tells us that that truth is our seal, our down payment until the coming of Christ. We've been sealed by the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, then why, for example, do some people experience demonic attack in their life? Well, let's keep it in the context of a Christian at this point. Christians throughout history, including Paul the Apostle himself, have been oppressed, not possessed, oppressed by demonic activity. Throughout history, Christians have been oppressed by demonic activity. Oppression means to be hindered or to be sequestered, or the attempt to hold down a Christian from doing the will of God. It's common. If a Christian is advancing the will of God, that Christian can expect oppression. And it can manifest itself in many, many different ways. It could be unusual, unexplainable, emotional sadness or depression. There's no reason for it. It's almost like you woke up or something in the middle of the day, you walked right into a fog bank and you can't explain it. And when you go to pray, you've checked all your bases, you haven't robbed any banks or killed anybody, and you haven't cussed or you've checked all your bases. I'm not sinning. What's wrong? And you begin to pray, and it's almost like the roof has come just about an inch above your head, and it feels like your prayer can't get out of the house. You feel like you're being crushed. That's called oppression. The reason why many Christians today are ignorant about these things, you want to know why? It's an indictment against us. We're not reading the lives of great Christian men and women who have gone before us. And we're not believing the Bible when we read it. Did not Paul the Apostle say, regarding the abundance of ministry that the Lord revealed to him, that what he was to do in his life, that God allowed a messenger of Satan to come and buffet Paul? Have we forgotten that? It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Martin Luther, quite frankly, Martin Luther had some pretty interesting, strange theology in areas. He's a man. We're all people. We all have our quirky views on things. But I got to tell you right now, you know why you and I are sitting here as Christians? Because God touched Martin Luther's life. Martin Luther was, of course, as you know, a priest in the Catholic Church. And he began to read his Bible. And he said, something's wrong here. There's got to be something wrong. When I read this Bible, I see I'm not saved by works or any attempt of righteousness. And when I read my Bible, I see that I'm saved by faith in Jesus Christ alone. And then when I read my Bible, Martin Luther says, I find out that I'm supposed to confess to Jesus only and not to any man on earth. And then he says, when I read my Bible, it says not to call any man father in a religious manner on the planet, but only God only. So he began to ask questions. Didn't go over very well. Martin Luther, great theologian, began to study. He says, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this. I have got to go and have this personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And while all this was taking place and Martin Luther was writing his commentaries on the Bible, studying Hebrew, studying Greek, getting into the original language of the scripture and writing a commentary, a teaching on John chapter 1, verse 1. He began in his study to experience such demonic resistance that you can visit the place today where Martin Luther, in having a dialogue with Satan, as Satan appeared, Luther took his inkwell and threw it at Satan, and that imprinted, that ink, is still against the wall. Now, why in the world? You go, I don't want to hear that. Well, I don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear that, but you'll go watch some stupid, spooky movie at the theater. I don't get it. Listen. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, write it down, read it later, verses 10 through 19, that the spirit world is real. There's light and there's darkness. There's good and there's bad. We wrestle against these things. These are principalities and powers, rulers in dark realms. And as we studied last week, if you weren't here, you can get the tape to get filled in on this. That's why I said if there's any visitors tonight, I'm sorry for you, because you're coming in on this is a table talk tonight. If we're going to seek to advance God's kingdom, we're going to get opposition. It will sometimes even manifest through people. Somebody may be so for you and just loving, and they may even be a Christian. They don't understand all of a sudden. They don't know, but you're wondering, why, what are they saying this about me for? It seems like ever since I signed up to go on that mission trip to Germany, everything's going wrong. You're under attack. It doesn't mean your friend is growing horns at the back of his head and, you know, he's got like a little doll and he's poking needles in it at night and it's got your face on it. That's not what that means. But Satan's pretty smart, and so are demons. They use Christians against Christians. They can do that. Did you know that they can do that? This is no secret. This is not my opinion. This is the way it's been throughout all Christian history. It's funny. What did Jesus say to Peter when Peter was mouthing off? Get thee behind me, Satan. Can you imagine Peter? Yeah, well, you know what? This is what I think. And then Jesus goes, get thee behind me, Satan. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what Peter must have been thinking? Or, you know, Jesus is looking at him. You know, that had to be heavy. That had to be absolutely amazing. Well, when we read here that Samuel appears, the witch screams. Because God had Samuel appear. She knew, I'm not in control. What in the world is going on? Doesn't tell us. I wonder if that lady didn't become a believer. I can't control this. What's going on here? This man, he's speaking. And then what does Samuel say? Samuel tells Saul exactly what's going to happen. And listen, the content, it ain't good. She talks to this, you give her $300 an hour, and she'll tell you what this 3,000-year-old spirit wants you to know. And you know what's funny about it? You're going to get rich. Let me see what else. Yep, you're going to have this, and you're going to have that, and it's going to be wonderful. Makes you feel good. Lying spirits. Isn't it funny? You see people, well, you know what? I had this, you know, tonight on our program, we're going to have a man who's come back from the dead, and he's going to tell us what it was like. You see those people on TV, listen real carefully. The story's all the same. Well, you know, I got hit by a truck. I was in the operating room. They're working on me. And I could feel me leave my body. I was up in the corner of the room looking at everybody working on me.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called The Spiritual Realm. It's a look at 1 Samuel chapter 28, the account of King Saul as he consulted with a medium. We'll continue with more of The Spiritual Realm on Monday's edition of Real Radio. All right, it is Friday, and that means that in just a minute we'll hear another Ask Pastor Jack. That's a great way of getting your Bible-related questions answered right here on Real Radio. Just send your question to Ask Pastor Jack at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Ask Pastor Jack at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Here's today's question. Pastor Jack, is there a difference between fallen angels and demons?
Is there a difference between fallen angels and demons? Are you asking my opinion? I'm going to give you the Jewish opinion. You can read a lot of books on this stuff. The ancient Jewish rabbis, even before the time of Christ, I agree with their writings. Is there a difference between fallen angels and demons? Good old Jewish rabbis will tell you that fallen angels are exactly that. They're fallen angels. The word in Hebrew and Greek is different for a fallen angel than it is for a demon. It is believed that a demon is the soul of those in Genesis chapter 6 that perished in the flood, the Nephilim, the hybrid freaks. The Bible says they had six fingers on each hand, six toes on each foot. They were gigantic men. They were weird. They could do supernatural things. The ancient Jewish rabbis believed that when the flood came and destroyed those people and those things, that when they died, they were not fully human and they were not fully angelic, because Genesis tells you that the sons of God, that's an Old Testament reference to angels. The fallen angels had sex. Angels can manifest themselves, by the way, physically. Demons cannot. Fallen angels had sex with human beings, Genesis chapter 6, and their offspring were gigantic men with unusual powers, with six fingers and six toes. Og, his bed was 14 and a half feet long. These kind of freakish people. The ancient Jewish rabbis believe that when that weird spirit and human cohabitation took place, their offspring, when those things died, their souls didn't go to heaven or to hell because they were neither pure spirit or pure flesh. When they perished in the flood, those spirits became demons. Now, what's weird about that is Jesus tells us in Luke's gospel that when a demon goes into a man and inhabits him and then sees that he's got a good place, he's got this guy under control, he leaves that man and goes out looking for others to inhabit the man's body with him, but sees to it that he travels through waterless places. Though the Jewish rabbis do not believe in the New Testament, they said that's exactly right on what the author of Luke was talking about. That Jewish boy, or those Jewish readers of the Christian Gospels, knew something. They'll give us that credit, that those demons have an absolute panic of water because that's how they perished in the flood. That's heavy stuff. You don't say that on a Sunday morning, I'll tell you that. But that's what real reputable ancient Jewish rabbis believe. Angels are fallen angels. The Bible says they're going to have a special place in torment, and demons will be obviously disciplined as well. Fallen angels and angelic angels appear and disappear at will. They can do that. What does the scripture say? Be careful how you treat a stranger, because you could actually be encountering an angel and not even know it. It never says that about a demon. What are demons always looking for to get their will done? An animal, a statue, or a person. Paul the Apostle says when someone bows down to an idol, to a statue, to an image, they are bowing down to demons, it says.
All right, Pastor Jack, on the topic of fallen angels and demons, Ask Pastor Jack. Email your question to askpastorjack@reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Ask Pastor Jack at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.